In that home, we knew we were safe to be young enough to dream, find the faith to believe.
Welcome to the podcast, Life to the Full, with Nancy Campbell, founder and publisher of Above Rubies.
Where we learn to forgive in that home.
Hello, wonderful ladies. Always so great to be with you. Now, at the moment, I'm in the middle of our series, and we're talking about all the different words that God calls our children. Remember, I was talking to you about kids, the word that everybody uses for their children, but it's not a biblical word. And we are talking about better words to call our children. But however, I'm going to have to let that go today, and we're going to come back to it because I've still got lots to tell you there. But today I have a very special guest all the way from Colorado, and she and her daughter have come to stay with us this weekend, and actually Rebecca is her name, Rebecca Lorenz. And Rebecca is actually on her way to Washington, D.C., where tomorrow, wow, is it tomorrow? No, it'll be next week,
Monday.
The 25th of March, she will be going to court for having been in the Capitol on January 6th. Okay, have I got your ears? You're going to want to hear this story. So actually, Colin, my husband and myself, we were very, very blessed to be in Washington, D.C. for that rally on January 6th. I have to say, it was one of the most wonderful days of our lives. It was so amazing. Now, that seems an incredible testimony, doesn't it? When you hear all these things about that day and people saying it was an insurrection and all these terrible things that happened. Well, I have to tell you that I didn't see one thing happen. But anyway, maybe I'll tell you more as we go along. But we're going to start off and we're going to hear Rebecca's story, because she also went to that day. And wow. And now here you are and you're on your way to a court case. So, Rebecca, it's so wonderful to have you with us. And you have a story to tell, and maybe you'll just start from the very beginning. How did you even get the vision to go to that day?
Well, it sounds like we're talking about The Sound of Music. Didn't you say, let's start at the very beginning,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you, Nancy. I've followed you in your magazine since the 90s, and I'm thinking
wow.
It's my sister, one of my sisters in turned me on to your magazine, and I've just loved it because it goes back to very godly values that I think we've lost in our country, and that's very important, and I really, really appreciate you having me on the call but standing up for the values that are on God's heart, and that's where my story begins, because ever since I was born again in my teens, and I'm in my 70s now, I made that decision that when I became a Christian, my life was no longer my own. And so, as someone else has said, I didn't coin this phrase, coined being a pun, that I'm just a coin in Jesus' pocket. Use me forever, however you want. And I've realized that one of the really foundational scriptures that is important to me is that Jesus said to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, and love him with all your heart. And so because that's always been foundational in my heart, I've always made my mission in life is to seek God with all of my heart, all of my soul, all my might, and to make him number one. And so I kind of began that my actual journey to the Capitol on the 6th of January began probably the end of January. Well, the end of December, my oldest son Who lives in Colorado Springs. I live just outside of Colorado Springs on 5 acres. But he texted me, called me, and said, Mom, are you thinking going to the Stop the Steal rally in Washington, D.C.? And I said, well, I really hadn't considered it at all because I do have a bed and breakfast in Colorado, and I had some guests coming, and my daughter, who sometimes runs things for me, was out of town. And so he said, well, Mom, I think you really need to pray about it. And he had actually had a word for me back in October, my oldest son, and it was quite interesting. He said he had a word for every one of his siblings as well as myself. And he said, in that little word, and I've looked back at it often, he said, you are a pioneer, not only in prayer, but in action. You go places where other people won't go. And so I thought of that later on, as you'll see my story unfold. But at the end of December, 1st of January, he said, I think you need to pray about it, Mom. So I said, okay, I'll pray about it. But it didn't take me too long after praying to feel like God really wanted me to go on this trip. And I thought, oh God, but how's it going to work? All the different details I had to work out. But then he said, Rebecca, I was 68 at the time, and he said, Rebecca, if you take on this venture, it's going to extend your life, and you're going to have so much joy in the adventure. And so I just got excited about, oh, this is going to be fun. It's going to be an adventure. I've got to go after what God wants me to do. And so I've always been a believer in, you know, just staying close to God. I spend a lot of time in quiet time with God because I want to hear his heart. And that's what I value, too, about this call, is because I know the people that are listening to this, as well as you, Nancy, are listening to what God's on. Hopefully are listening to God's heart. So I got excited about it. I made the decision to go. My daughter, Jennifer, came home to take care of things at my property. And then I woke up the next morning after my decision and looked at my bank checking account. I realized there was a $600 deposit stimulus from President Trump. And I thought, oh my goodness, here I got the money for gas. So it's a long way from Colorado to Washington, D.C. My son said, Mom, I know you won't drive because you never wear a mask and you might have to deal with that on the plane. So it's only 25 hours. You can make it. So, and I thought, oh, good. That's another adventure.
So you did it by yourself?
Yes.
Wow. That was amazing.
But I knew I was going to be very focused. And I knew when I made the decision to go that I would fast and pray because I wanted to really hear God and not my own thoughts. So I got in the car the morning of the 4th, drove halfway probably to St. Louis, then the next day drove the rest of the way to Washington, D.C., got there in the evening, met up with my son and my grandson, who were also going, and then, of course, I was tired from driving all day, but then so went back to the house, or the room in the house where my daughter had, my other daughter was working for the Republican National Committee, and she was out of town that day, so she said, I'll just stay in my room, Mom, and it's only 4 blocks from the Capitol, so went to bed that night. Next day, got up around and left around 10 o'clock. And I've got to tell this little story to you, if we have time.
Yes.
When I left Colorado, I thought, well, I'm going to make sure I have everything red, white, and blue, right? So I found a white scarf that belonged to my daughter, Laura. And then I had a red and white scarf that belonged to my favorite aunt. She shared the same birthday with me, and her name was Laura. Both of those ladies, my daughter and my aunt's name were Laura. And thinking about it later, I realized, because names mean so much to me and also to God, I looked up, or I already knew what the name Laura meant, and it means victorious one. And so I felt really, it was really exciting because we're going into this in victory. And that's, I thought, we're going to the Capitol. I'm going here with millions, thousands, millions. I know you know, Nancy. We saw that sea of people.
Oh, yes. I think there must have been at least 2 million people. You know, when we were at the rally, you just looked back and you couldn't even see the end of the crowd. It was just so amazing. Yes.
Yes. Yes, it was amazing. And you think about it, you know, if we think there was 2 million, I just learned yesterday, Nancy, you had that class last night on American Covenant, and
yes.
I think there was a quiz, and wasn't when the Revolutionary War started, they said there were like 2 million people in the United States at that time.
Well, that was 2 million Christians, they said.
Oh, 2 million Christians.
Yes.
Yes. So,
yes, that was interesting.
Interesting. Yes.
Yes.
So going back to the story, so I got there, and like Nancy said at the beginning, there was such peace and joy and just a real patriotic feeling when we got there. I got there around 10 o'clock, and I just felt such a Excitement.
Now, you went straight to the Capitol, didn't you? Yes, we didn't. We went to the rally first, and that was really amazing, with just people all around us, just so patriotic. And I think one of the most beautiful times was walking up from the rally right up Pennsylvania Avenue, right up to the Capitol, and everyone was walking, and then they're walking up other streets as well, but Pennsylvania Avenue was crowded, and people just singing hymns and singing patriotic songs, and lots of placards with Stop the Steal, but also lots of placards with Bible verses and, you know, lifting up Jesus. It was just so amazing.
Yes. Yes, I remember that right beside me when I was where I was, there were a couple Asian ladies blowing shofars. And yes. It was just a very much a time of rejoicing, knowing yes. that we were standing up for our country. And I think yes. that's what's so encouraging to me, even as I go along this journey this past year since I was arrested. It's exciting to know that there are millions of people that really do love our country.
Yes.
And so that's why we're here, right, on this podcast, to get the voice out that we're not outnumbered. There are millions of yes. people who love our country, and we are speaking out because we want to save it. Our country's in trouble.
Yes.
But nothing's impossible to God. He's the one that Nancy and I were talking this morning about. His government is the government is upon his shoulders,
yes.
and he will bring it back in order. And so we have to rely on him. So back to my story. So I was there meeting lots of people like Nancy was in a different area, and got there. And then I realized I was actually positioned myself, and I said, how can this happen that I'm right smack dab in the frontal of the Capitol doors on the east side of the building, or the east side of the Capitol, and right across from the Supreme Court, which I think is another important significance. But to me, that represents truth and justice, the Supreme Court. But I was standing in the front of there, and I texted my daughter back home, and I said, I don't know what I feel. This just feels interesting that God would place me right. I'd be able to stand right in the front. You know, what is God doing in my life, you know? And I told her, I says, I don't know if I feel like going to the Ellipse. I had the opportunity, of course, but I just thought, oh, I don't know if I want to walk all the way over there or not. So I stayed on the east side of the Capitol, walked around, met a few more people. And then after I was there probably an hour and a half, I looked to the left of me, and there was a platform where there were some people that were worshiping God on this microphone. They were praying and singing, as you said, and they were just pointing to the Capitol and just decreeing and declaring things over our Capitol building. And so I thought, oh, I'm going to walk over there. So I thought that would be kind of, you know, a little diversion. So I walked over there, and before I got to the grassy area on this platform, where that platform was, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God just fell over me. I could just sense the presence of God come on me. I couldn't even stand up, Nancy. So I just had to sit down, and I just started weeping, and I just started crying and crying. And all of this, I realized that at that moment I was crying and interceding for my country.
Yes.
And so it was just an overwhelming experience. I've had those kind of experiences a few times in my life, but not very often. But I knew it was about God and our country. And then I got up, walked over, and kind of watched what was going on. And then all of a sudden the boldness of God came over me, and I just felt like I needed to ask if I could pray on that platform. And they were done singing, and I asked someone, they said, sure, go ahead. And so I got up there, and I felt led to pray the 1620 Mayflower Compact, which is a covenant that we have that our pilgrims forefathers made
yes.
in 1620
yes.
before they got off that Mayflower ship.
That's right. They made it on the ship
yep.
before they even got off.
Before they yes. even got up, they knew that yes. there was a bigger purpose than just themselves,
yes.
that they were willing yes. to die for. What? Half the people died anyway, but they knew they were here for a purpose. And so I declared on that platform, this country would give glory to God and advance the Christian faith. And that's about all I said. Got off and then went right back to where I was before about noon, and that same place was open. So I'm standing right before the barricades facing the front door, and I just felt like we're standing for what God. I'm praying quietly to myself and saying, this country will listen to the truth. This is our last bastion of hope, almost,
yes.
because I felt like I'd been involved in a lot of grassroots things in the end of 2020 with helping develop leadership in some other areas to just create more awareness that what was going on in the pandemic wasn't right. And I just felt after the stolen election that our country would take the right procedures to go through and nothing was working. But then I said, you know, we're here because this country is about we the people. It's the people that work in those offices were elected by us and they need to hear our voice. And just by not necessarily a specific voice, but just the presence of so many people.
Just being there. That's really why most people went, just to be there, to be a stand, to say, we realize this election has been stolen and this is not right. This, you know, and we're standing for truth and for righteousness and for justice.
Yes. And the principles that our founding fathers put established in the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, all those founding documents, you know, we are still the United States of America. We believe in those principles and values, and we need to come together.
We the people.
Right.
That's how it starts. We the people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And
we're
they represent
not meant
us.
To be governed by a tyranny. We it's we the people.
Right. Yes. And we believe that. And I know you do this too, because you're a very strong believer in that. But Thomas Jefferson, and I'm not saying it, quoting it probably exactly right, but he said, when the people fear the government, that's tyranny. Mm. But when the government fears us, that's freedom. And that's what we wanted. We want freedom. We don't want them to be afraid of us. We, you know, this is who we are. And so fast forward then about, I guess that was about noon when I got back in there, and I remember at one point there was somebody shaking the barricades, the bike racks, and other person right beside me says, "Don't do that! Don't do that!" So they were stopped. They weren't, wanting that. We weren't. And then about 2 o'clock or so, I don't remember the time frame. All of a sudden, I don't know how it happened, but the barriers came down. And the barriers came down, and all of us just decided, well, let's go forward. Then we'll go across the plaza, walked up the steps, and we were standing up there. And I had this kind of sense in me, and I remember texting my daughter at home or calling her and saying, "Jennifer, I believe if those doors open that God wants me to go through." And she said, "Okay, whatever the Holy Spirit says to you, go for it." And so it wasn't because I remember somebody at the, you know, blowing a shofar right next to me, and you know, we were just standing there looking at the doors, and all of a sudden I saw that they were open, and I just started moving in with the rest of them. And I got in that Capitol building, Nancy, and all I could see, and you will understand this, was the faces. I have 7 grandchildren, and they saw the 3 youngest ones. And all I could, they were like, at that time, I think they were 8, 6, and 4, or a little bit younger. And I could just see their faces, and I said, I will not let this country go down on to Marxism or socialism on my watch. Because I'm a very strong prayer warrior, but I know that God's word says with faith without works is dead. And I'm not going to let my faith be dead here. I'm active. And I just was in there, and I felt like I was at the right place at the right time for such a time as this, because our country is in trouble, and I'm going to do my civic duty, but not just a civic duty. God created our nation. Yes. And I am doing what's on God's heart. And so I was in there, and I felt this exuberance inside me that I was doing what God wanted me to do. So got in there, it was about probably about 2:45, something around that time Eastern, and walked around a little bit within the ropes, never said anything, didn't do anything disruptive, no violence or pushing, and I didn't see anything. In fact, I heard people in the background saying, "Don't do any violence," and people were just peaceful and just still the same as they were outside, not creating any violence. Walked down a hall because I thought we wanted our presence to be even clearer before the congressman, and then all of a sudden a guy in front of me turned around, and I said, "Well, why are we turning around going?" He says, "Well, we're just going out because the congressmen have already left the building." And to me, that was just confirmation too that our purpose was not to create violence, but just to make our presence known. So then I walked out, just stood outside for a while, and then went back to my daughter's.
So you wouldn't have been there very long at all.
Only about 10 minutes.
10 minutes, yes.
Yep. So just going into the people's houses, I like to call it, which it is. It's our house.
It is.
It doesn't belong to a certain, to politicians, or it belongs to us, and we even pay for it with our taxpayer money.
That's right. Yes. So you just walked in and then walked out, and that was it, you thought.
Right. I thought that was it. I went back to my daughter's house that night, and after a little while, she called me, the one who, and she said, "Mom, do you know that you may get arrested for something like that, or you could?" I said, "What?" Like my grandson says, what? No, but I thought, this can't happen to me. No, that's not true. I didn't know. I had no idea that there was off limits or anything like that, because I thought we had a right to be there. So I just never thought any more about it. Got home and I thought, you know, I drove there by myself with the intention to pray, stand up for my rights as a United States citizen who loves my country. Got back home. And then after a week or two, I saw that people were, they were starting to arrest these people. I thought, that can't be. Yeah. I thought, that's not going to happen to me. I'm just a grandmother who loves my country and prays.
Yeah.
So then, and different people said, no, probably when you're not a high profile person, they're not going to hit you. You don't know a lot of people that are connected or whatever. And then about on April 19th, I get a knock on my door. I live out in the country on 5 acres. And then April 19th, by the way, is the Patriot Day. That's the day the shot was, first shot was heard around the world before the Revolutionary War. And I, it also happens to be my oldest daughter's son, or my oldest son's birthday. And I was baking a birthday cake and we were going to have him over. And anyway, I go to the door and there's this man and woman at the door and they say, we're with the FBI and we're here to investigate your involvement in January 6th event. And I thought, what? The first thing that came out of my mouth, Nancy, was, I'm sorry, I'm baking a cake. You'll have to come. Can you come back a different day? Because my house is a mess. But anyway, they did. They left me a card and they said, just call us back. So, which I know this hasn't happened to too many people that have are in my situation, but I don't know what that means. But anyway, they did come back.
Well, that was lovely that, you know, it wasn't so violent. I mean, we have neighbors not so far away from us. And I did a podcast. Some of you may remember the podcast with Bethany Vaughn and how her husband, he was arrested by the FBI, but not with a little knock at the door. No, they came with guns and it was just so scary. It was terrible. And they just, you know, handcuffed him and took him and didn't even tell him why. And all the little children were just all just so scared. And it was very violent. Now they have had a court case and are now sort of waiting to know whether he will have to do 10.5 years in jail just for standing outside an abortion clinic. So, you know, praise the Lord, it wasn't so violent for you.
Yes. I feel bad sometimes when I share that because the horrific things that have happened to people.
Oh, it's been horrific. Just, and no, it's amazing that the FBI are now coming against American citizens in such a violent way who are totally innocent.
Right, totally innocent. And yeah. It grieves me when I think about that. And I feel bad because this should never be happening. And no. I thank God that it didn't happen to me. But I really do feel for those other people. It's horrid. When I see that, it just makes me cry. When I think of that, I've watched several documentaries and some of those. But that's not what happened to me. But that's my story. God has a different one for all of us, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, after the interview, that was the end of April that I actually did the interview with the FBI agents. And I have nothing to hide. So, I mean, I'm pretty open book on everything because I, you know, if I do mess up, I quickly repent and God takes care of that. But so about 4 months later, I didn't hear anything for about 3 to 4 months later. And then I get a call from the FBI and my agent says, well, you're probably going to be arrested on 4 misdemeanors. They're federal misdemeanors, and you're going to have to appear up in Denver in court, and they're going to arrest you. But and the 4 misdemeanors are, and I'll tell you what they are. They're entering and remaining in a restricted building is the first one, entering and remaining in a or disorderly and disruptive conduct in a federal building.
Where do they get the disruptive conduct from?
They just think that we all are because we disrupted what they wanted to do that day, I guess. And the second one is disorderly and disruptive conduct in a Capitol building. And then the fourth one is picketing and parading in a restricted building. Those are the 4 federal misdemeanors that I'm charged with. And they could, the penalty for them is up, could be up to a year in prison and over $200,000 in fine at the fullest extent. So it seems so bizarre that just going in there to pray and but love your country is a crime. And it's very sad when I think about what has happened to our country.
Yes.
But God has a different plan. We've got allowed ourselves to get in this position, and now we have to stand up and take a stand. And that's what I'm willing to do, because my life doesn't belong to mine. It belongs to Jesus and whatever he has in his heart. So anyway, when she was in the middle of saying that, after she got done saying what was going to happen to me, I just was quiet and I didn't say anything. And on the other end, she's kind of like, aren't you glad it's not a felony? I said, I thought to myself, I didn't say this out loud, but I said, I shouldn't be charged with anything,
you know,
so I'm not going to be happy for a misdemeanor. You shouldn't have done that to me at all, because I was standing up for righteousness. So anyway, then nothing happened for about a year and a half. I never heard from her again. Wow. I thought, oh, they probably forgot about me because I'm not on that hit list or whatever anymore. But then in December of just a year and a half ago, 2022, a year and a half later, I got a call from the FBI, and they said, you're going to have to appear up in Denver and be charged with these four charges, be arrested and then arraigned before the court in front of a judge with your charges. And that's going to happen on December 19th, that month. And I'm part of a Colorado Springs Republican women group, and we had our Christmas party that night, and I was telling them about it. And the GOP chair that we have, Vicky is her name, and she's just so patriotic, loves the Lord, shares the same birthday with me. And she says, we're not going to let that happen. We're going to support you, she said. She said she ended up getting on a conservative podcast and said, we need to rally behind this. El Paso County is where I'm from. We need to rally behind this lady and give her our support. So she got about 30 to 40 people up there the day I was arrested. There were like my two sons, my littlest grandchildren that I saw in my mind's eye that day, and their mom and dad, and were there, my son and his wife. And they all got up there and they prayed for me. They sang This Little Light of Mine, and was just a real encouragement to be up there with me. So.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
But didn't she say something? They weren't too happy about all those people coming.
No, that's a good thing. The day like 3 days or before I was supposed to go up there, the Friday before Monday that I was supposed to go up there, the FBI called me and said, we heard there's going to be some protests up in the Capitol when you get up there that day, so we need to be a little fluid. We're going to have an extra FBI agent, so that would be three, and you're going to have to be very careful how we do this, because there could be some, I think they thought, violence or whatever, but very far, just because they wanted to pray for me and stand with me.
Yeah. So they all did come.
There was about 30 that she rallied together to come up there. I have a picture of them. They waited. My arraignment didn't happen to happen. They had no idea, but it was like 4 or 5 hours later. They all stayed around, waited, went and got to know each other at a restaurant.
Wow.
Stood up for me. It was brilliant.
Amazing.
It was really nice. So then after I got the call, they said, after I'd been there, after they prayed for me, I got a call from the agent, and she said, I want you to meet us at the such and such corner. So I walked over there. I get to that corner. Nobody was there. And then I get another call, and the FBI agent again, and she said, we told you you're supposed to come here alone, and if you don't come alone, we're going to have to do this another day. And I said, well, I'm not going to come another day and have all these people come up to me for me again. Let's just get this over with. She said, well, then meet us alone at this corner. So even though they didn't tear my house down, they were being very, harassing, they just wanted to make. But then they told me to go at such and such a place, and that's where they arrested me. But thinking back on it, it goes back to what I said at the beginning, what Jefferson said. I think they were a little afraid of me. And that's a good thing, right?
Yes.
If the government is afraid of us, then that's freedom. So
what happened when they arrested you?
So they put me in the back of their car. I looked at the warrant for my arrest. I said, can I see the warrant? And they gave it to me. And I noticed the date on there was 3 months earlier, September 19th, which to this day, I don't really know why. I asked them that when I was getting booked, and they said, just in extenuating circumstances or something like that. But I think they just wanted to do it. I don't celebrate all the Christmas holidays much anymore, more Hebraic, but they thought it was 4 days before Christmas, and so they wanted to make it as trying to me as possible. So they got me, booked me, put me in shackles in my wrist and my waist, and then they put me in a prison cell for about 3 hours. So there's a story of me being in the prison, so I don't know if we have time to say that today.
Yes.
But
well, maybe we can just tell that story, and then I think we've got more to share. We'll have to do another one together.
Okay, we'll close
and do another one. What we'll do, ladies, I've only got Rebecca here today, so we'll do another one, and it'll be posted to you the following week. Okay. But what we want you to know this week is that you can be praying for Rebecca, because she will be traveling on to Washington, D.C., and her court case there is on Monday the 25th. So please be praying for her, that the Lord will be with her in a wonderful way. But anyway, tell that little story.
And
what
also
happened there.
I have a website, restoringgodlyculture.com. You can go there and read more about me, what I'm up to, and then also put your email there if you want to get more updates. Cool. And also there's a donate tab, because expenses for my attorneys are quite high. So whatever you choose to do is fine. But I got to tell you this story. This is the most exciting. I got in that prison cell. They locked me up after an hour and a half. I wasn't troubled at all. I knew I was there on assignment by God. I sit down on that bench and I'm sitting there for a little while. And then all of a sudden the U.S. Marshal comes in and he says, we're going to have to shackle your ankles. So he brought me out and put the shackles on between my ankles.
I mean, why would they have to do that? Do they think you were going to run or something?
I know. I was like, what is this? It's just the optics, maybe, Nancy. The optics look good if you're in shackles. But they didn't know that they were doing that because of God. Because what happened to me, it was so amazing. I sat down there, sat on the bench, looked down at that chain between my ankles, like a 12, 15-inch chain. And all of a sudden, it hit me. Isaiah 6, that says, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And all I could feel was the love of God, that he would sacrifice his love for me by sending his son, that Jesus would go through death on the cross and all that, that worse than I could even imagine in a prison, you know. He did that for me, and I just wept and wept, and I just felt so much the love of God that I still get, it just brings tears to my eyes when I think of how much God loves us, that he would sacrifice himself. This is the least I could ever do for him. And that's what I just felt this overwhelming sense of his love that I'll never, ever forget. And I tell people, if you can go to prison for just that, you should go to prison, because it is important, you know, to sense God's love. And then I looked up and all I heard God say was, Rebecca, you were chosen. You were chosen for this assignment, and it was just a reiteration to me that I'm on assignment for God, because we need to wake up our country and bring it back to God, because God loves us and he loves our nation. So,
oh, yes. Amen. Thank you, Rebecca. Well, there's more to share, so we're going to do another session.
Okay,
that
good.
Would be so great. But, you know, we here on the Hilltop, as you know, we have two prayer meetings a week where we pray for the needs of the nation and for the world. And we have Monday night here at our home, and Wednesday night at Serene and Sam's home. And we have prayed so much for these men who are in prison, you know, for the January 6th. I mean, many of them, like you, just walked in and walked out. And we remember talking to one guy at the end of the day. He was at the same hotel we were at. And he said, you know, I walked into that place today. And yes, and he was just telling us. I mean, he just walked in and walked around and walked out because the door had been opened. And as we have seen on footage, they were welcoming, beckoning people in. And so I wonder, most probably he's one who was in prison. But many have been there now for 3 years and innocently.
Yes.
And they
yeah.
have been treated like terrorists. They've been in solitary confinement. And they're not even treated like normal prisoners, but like terrorists. And these are our own people who were just there standing up for a stolen election. I mean, it's hard to believe. And yet many are still carrying on in this nation and not really aware of what is happening. And here we are now, it's all these years, and they're still trying to get more people in prison. Yeah. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So keep praying for these men who've just been really, they've been suffering. And yes, and pray for Rebecca as she prepares to go to court on the 25th. So let's pray now, shall we? Dear Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just pray and ask that all these lovely people listening, that you will join with me. And Lord, we pray that you will go with Rebecca, that you will fill her with your Spirit. We pray that you will pour out your anointing upon her, and she will glow and shine with your light, with your presence, with your glory. I pray, Lord, that as she goes into that courtroom, that, Lord, all those who are present and the judge will see your glory all over her, Lord God. Lord, as she speaks, I pray that you'll give her your words to speak. And I pray that you will be glorified. Lord, we pray for favor for Rebecca. We pray that she will be released from these ridiculous charges. But above all, Lord, we pray that you will be glorified. And your glory will be revealed in that courtroom. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. In that home.